So we remain standing for our gospel reading.
And the gospel for Palm Sunday can be found on page 1054 of the Bible, of the Bibles in the pews. Page 1054. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. A prayer. Lord, this story is so familiar, and so we pray that you would help us to understand its significance even more, for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Luke 19, verse 28, page 1054. Today is known as Palm Sunday. The Lord Jesus enters Jerusalem. It's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But did you notice something which you don't find in the other accounts, in this account in Luke? There are no palms in Luke's storytelling of this entry. And of course, the different evangelists write from different perspectives. But there are cloaks on a colt. Verse 35, they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And he went along, and people spread their cloaks on the road. I did think last night perhaps we should call this Sunday Garment Sunday when the reading is from Luke. The greatest figure in history enters the greatest city of the first century, the most important week there's ever been in world history. It's often called the triumphal entry, but by standards of a British coronation or an American presidential inauguration, it seems pretty understated. And yet it's significant for all four gospel writers to record it and to interpret it. Matthew 21, verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Who is this? This is a king. In fact, it is the king. And in an active parable of true kingship, which people will never forget. Verse 37, when he came near the place where the road goes down to Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It's fever pitch. Passover is coming. It's high and rising, the fever. And there are two reasons in Jewish history and in the Old Testament scriptures why people would go to the city of Jerusalem. One reason would be to enthrone the king. The other to meet God, to offer sacrifices, to celebrate his love, salvation, and covenant. I wonder how many of that thronging crowd in the streets had realized they would be in touching distance of the Passover lamb himself. It's a 14-mile walk from Jericho, one of the lowest points on earth. It's 800 feet below sea level. And then Jesus walks to 3,000 feet above sea level up to the city of Jerusalem. I've not walked it, but I have been along that path in a coach. There's an amazing sense of drama. Even today, if you go up that road, there's the barrenness of the land at first, the wilderness, desert. Then the lush green, and eventually we break the summit of the Mount of Olives and we see over the hills the city of Jerusalem, glistening in the sunshine ahead of you across the valley. It is one of the greatest views in the world, and it is profoundly moving just to go there today and think what happened in Jerusalem in this particular week of Christ's life. When Jesus stood there and saw the city, it reduced him to tears. He wept over it, we're told, in verses 41 and 42. Because of the spiritual unconnectedness of most of the Israelites. All this is designed to make a point. It's at the right time, Passover, when Israel celebrated God's miraculous acts of deliverance in history, Jesus was there at that time. It's the right place, the Mount of Olives, where Jesus enters the city. You may not know this, but the prophet Ezekiel talks about God's glory leaving. Leaving where? Well, at the entrance to the city, leaving across the Mount of Olives. This is Ezekiel chapter 43. But it's prophesied also that the glory of the Lord would return on the same route. It's also a fulfillment of prophecy. It is a Messiah moment. The Jews have talked so much about the kingdom of God, and Jesus had talked about it in all his life of teaching. And now he means to embody the kingdom of God for all to see. And Jesus, in these deliberate actions, means to define himself for us. It's not left to politicians or even the theologians of the time. The Lord Jesus is spelling out who he is. He's the king. First, he's the king in control, verses 28 to 34. We need to notice this. Having walked everywhere in his ministry, Jesus chooses to ride these last few hundred yards in self-conscious fulfillment of prophecy. Matthew 21 puts it like this. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And Matthew spells it out, and Luke tells the story. But it was echoed in any Jew's mind about a king on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It was all planned and predicted. These weren't just random events. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing here. He's in complete control. Verse 30, go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one's ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell him the Lord needs it. That was the password for the donkey to be passed on to whoever's collecting it. The colt is there, and it all happens just as Jesus said it would. Jesus is in control. Divine timetable is flawless, it's on schedule, and happening just as Zechariah the prophet had written about 500 years earlier when he talked of Messiah, God's great rescuer king who'd restore the fortunes of Israel. Jesus had this in mind in what he was doing, and the onlookers also are conscious of it. The prophecy in Zechariah uses military language, but it speaks about spiritual realities. He's not a king with a sword on a white horse, but lowly and riding on a donkey, bringing peace to the nations and to the ends of the earth. This is massive global kingship, which is foretold. A righteous king ruling over a worldwide empire. The king is coming on a donkey. He comes not to cement Jewish nationalism or oust Roman occupation, but to save humanity by his own sacrificial death on a cross a few days later. The king is in control. Then second, the king is celebrated, verses 35 to 38. You would not have put cloaks on the road or on a donkey for a friend. That was only done for respected and powerful royalty. It must have been a bittersweet moment for Jesus, given what was about to happen a few days later. When he came near to a place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. The crowds and disciples know Jesus is different, and the word they shouted, which Matthew tells us about, was Hosanna, which the children were shouting as they left their groups. And Hosanna is a Hebrew word which is both a declaration of adoration and also a plea that he'll save. A cry of delight and a cry that he'll save and do that right away. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, Luke writes. And then we have one of the Hallel Psalms, which are Psalms of Deliverance, quoted as well by Luke. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest echoes what the angel said at Christmas. And Jesus silences none of this, but accepts it. Oh yes, you might say he's a good man or an effective rabbi, but here's Jesus accepting worship and adoration, and he wishes to be celebrated as the king coming in the name of the Lord. That is blasphemous, if not true. The crowd was celebrating, but they hadn't grasped the true nature of Jesus' kingship. Yes, their enthusiasm was authentic enough. It was heartfelt, longing for God to sort things out. They not properly grasped who Jesus was. They wanted a Jesus who'd meet what they saw as their needs. And very often we do the same thing in our own lives. We want Jesus to fulfill our needs and answer us the way we want it to be answered. But the Jesus we celebrate is a single figure who in fact fills the whole of God's horizon, the whole of the world's horizon. He's God's king over everything and forever. Third, the king is challenged, verses 39 to 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Grumblers were never far away from Jesus. And actually, still grumbling, isn't there, nowadays, all over the place. And the burgeoning joy of Messiah, his arrival, his kingship being revealed, is met by the festering grumbling of Jerusalem elite. They thought the messianic fervor was getting out of hand and running away. And Jesus replies, verse 40, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You see, Jesus will be praised. He's a sovereign king of the whole earth, of the whole universe. And if people won't do it, the very rocks on the ground will. If you look at Psalm 96, we're told how creation proclaims who the Lord is. The fields are jubilant, the trees sing for joy. All creation rejoices before the Lord. And here, Jesus says, geology will take over from theology if this crowd don't shout out and welcome the King. Nothing will derail God's purpose. He knows where he's heading. And yes, judgment will come to those who don't recognize Jesus as it comes to Jerusalem, which Jesus warns of in verse 44. And today, Palm Sunday gives us each two options. So let me ask you a personal question. Do you resent Jesus? Do you resent Jesus being king over you? Do you keep him at arm's length? Will you not have him? You either resent him or you rejoice at his coming to rescue us. That journey started on that first Palm Sunday. I hope each of us will rejoice at who this King truly is and what he's come to do for us. Amen.
Thank you, John.